The Old Testament prophet Malachi has a name for God that I believe is critical for us to know at this time, where our world is and what we're facing, what we're seeing take place. This is a critical name that we need to know for God. Malachi 3:3 calls God a refiner. And the battles we face, he calls them a refiner's fire. Let me say that again. God is called a refiner, and the battles that we are facing and other people are facing, I believe right now, are refiner's fire. What Malachi was saying, church, is that your trials, your battles, your personal battles from what you're experiencing and what people are experiencing around the world are not simply inconveniences and disruptions to life. But I think what that verse is telling us, it is a furnace of change that God uses to make us what he wants us to be. Listen, because, get this now, the refiner changes the shape of the metal while it's in the fire. He changes that shape. Gold is formed in the fire. The refiner beats the gold with a mallet in the fire. Listen, because it's easier to make it into the shape that he wants when it's in the fire. It becomes moldable. So while maybe you or I are in a fire right now, while you are in the battle, what really happens is God is changing us and changing our shape. Let me just tell you, folks, with all that is happening today, get ready to be in the best shape of your life. Get ready for what God is doing. That all of the gold has to be in the fire in order for it to become what the refiner wants it to be. And sometimes there is a moment. Our Ukrainian brothers and sisters are experiencing, the Ukrainian church, and even those in that whole region are experiencing this, that there may come a time that everything seems to be in the fire, but it's God molding and doing something. That sometimes we have to remember that the hotter the furnace, the more intense the battle is really a confirmation that God is getting ready to change and do something. He is on the move. When you see heat turned up, it means the refiner is getting ready to do something. While the world is watching Ukraine under fire from a Russian invasion, that they are now predicting in 48 hours they will begin to start their onslaught on the capital city and expecting possibly in 10 days that they could come in if there is not just physical help, but if there is not divine help, that it becomes almost an impossibility. With over 2.5 million refugees fleeing, we are seeing with our eyes a humanitarian crisis right before our eyes. Now in New York City, we're watching out for a cyber attack that now they're predicting is going to come to New York City and to Washington, D.C. People are now even watching and have even thoughts that biochemicals can be used in this war that literally changes the whole shape of everything. Eyes are on border nations, as this morning when you woke up, now the first missiles have landed 15 miles from the Polish border, which literally can bring all of NATO involved with this war. Our eyes are watching, what is the White House going to do? And folks, you know as well as I do, our eyes are watching gas prices at the pump that's beginning to go up at this time. But I have to tell you this, as I've started to pray, my eyes have been in a different place. I've watched news, and I've watched it just every single day. I've watched from, you watch the gas prices and you watch the bombs fall, you watch everything that's going on. But I think the fire has a spiritual implication that for God's church in that region. I really believe that God is doing something in the church in Ukraine, Russia, Poland, Moldova, Belarus, Romania, that God is saying, my people are in the refiner is coming. God is getting his church ready for something in that region. There is something that God is doing, folks. Don't just look outward. Look at maybe what God, a refining may be happening right now in God's church over there. That God is beginning to step in and going, that there is something that's going to happen. And I want to show you that around what's around the corner from that fire, that I believe that God is doing something. The refiner is doing something, and what's around the corner from the fire is what I want to point out to you today. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says as he speaks to a people that are facing a fire and a furnace themselves, where literally all of Rome is against them. Their lives are on the line, and the Apostle Peter writes to Christians in the refiner's fire, and in fact, he defines the battle as fire, a furnace in two places. Listen to the first one. He says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you." And I just say this, listen, I want you to hear this, even to my Ukrainian brothers and sisters in the church, those that we are supporting and those that can hear this today, that God can take even the selfishness and the ego of someone that is trying to come into your nation, just as Rome was trying to do the church. And here's what Peter says. Don't think this is strange. He says, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, he says these words, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation, is what he says. Or let me read it to you out of the Message version. He says, friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. It's a spiritual refining process that's going on with glory just around the corner. Hallelujah. Let me say that again, just in case you missed it. He says, when life gets difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God's not there. Look what he says. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. I love that. Peter calls the fiery ordeal comes before the glory comes. It's always fire before that glory is around the corner. And Peter knows God does something in his people and in his church when that fire comes. Listen to the second place that Peter defines this as fire and a furnace. Look at 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by what? Fire, may be found to result in, look what he says is around the corner, it'll result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Tested by fire. See, what 1 Peter 4, 2 and 1 Peter 1, 7 does is it says that joy, because he says it twice, and fire can coexist together. He tells them in both places, rejoice. Rejoice when the refiner has you in the fire. Rejoice. That joy and fire, joy and difficulty can coexist at the very same time. Peter says that joy in the fire is the attitude that he's looking for, not only on the home front, but in his church around the world. Let me define just for a moment what joy is. Listen carefully. Get this now. Joy is not the absence of problems, difficulties, and hardship. You ready for this? Joy is not the absence of problems. Joy is the presence of God with me at all times. Let me say that again. It's not the absence of problems. Joy is the presence of God, both in suffering and in blessing. Hallelujah. That's what joy is. That's why he says you can rejoice in a fire. I was reading some years ago about the first century markets that we read about that during the time of the New Testament. And they said one of the ways to find out if the pottery you were buying in that time frame in the first century, as people would walk by to avoid any fakes, is they said when they pick up a piece of pottery, they would literally say this. They would hit it with their finger. And this is what they would say. If you hit it, it will sing. That if it's real, and you hit it with your fingernail, that's a song. Like a tune comes from that. Oh, folks, I love that. which means that if you hit the real thing, a song will begin to come out of it. That's the people of God. How can someone sing in this place or online with cancer in their body? If you hit it, it will sing, because joy doesn't come from the absence of problems. It comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit. How can a mom be here today and sing those songs, "All my life you have been faithful," and has a wayward son and a prodigal son or a difficult marriage? If you hit her, she will sing, because it's not the absence of problems, it's the presence of God. How can someone be here and maybe during this pandemic, whether it's from physical sickness or maybe you lost a job and they got hit, but if it's real, if you hit it, it will sing. They will lift their hands and say, "All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good." You can sing in church, and listen, folks, listen, Ukraine, listen, Russia, you can sing in church and you can sing in the furnace. You can sing anywhere. If God is present, a song can come out anytime that God begins to do. Listen, that's what he's doing now. He's doing that for the church. Now the new report has come, the persecution that's coming right in Russia to the Russian pastors that are standing up, that they are being thrown into prison right now. I have to tell you, let me just say this to the religious. Fire and a furnace can do what a seminary degree can't do. You can hang all the papers you want on the wall and think that because you did your exegesis class or your homiletics class, listen to me, pastors, listen to me, leaders, there is nothing that a test grade can do that one furnace can do something deep inside of us. That's why one person said it like this: a clay pot sitting in the sun will always be a clay pot. But take that and put it in the heat of a kiln and a furnace, and it becomes porcelain at that point. When God puts you in a furnace, he's doing something deep inside of us. Look further than what you just see on TV. Your battle can be persecution or invasion. It can be imprisonment, or it can be betrayal. It can be disappointment. And literally, while you're sitting here, it could be brokenness that's happening. The refiner's furnace does two things. Jot this down. It will make us moldable, because the heat begins to come and allows the mallet to pound it into the place it's supposed to be, but it also removes the impurities. The heat. Malachi speaks about the position of the refiner during this moment. He speaks of his posture while he has his valuable metal in the furnace. And this is what it says in Malachi 3:3. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will sit there. That's what they do. A young man happened upon a silversmith who was refining silver and gold. And he asked the silversmith, "Why do you heat the metal?" The refiner answered, "In order to make precious silver, I have to remove the impurities that make it worth less than it really is. So when I put it in, the impurities are in it, but the heat brings it out." Folks, listen. He says, "Why do you sit while you work?" And the refiner replied, "I have to watch the fire closely. Too little heat, and the impurities remain. Too much heat, and I'll ruin the precious metal." "And how do you know when the silver is at the right temperature?" And the refiner smiled and said, "It's when I look into that furnace, I know the purifying is complete, when I can see my reflection in the silver." That's what he's looking for. He's looking for a church that looks like him. Folks, listen to me. He doesn't want a church that looks American and looks Russian. He doesn't want a church that looks Romanian and Ukraine. He wants a church that looks like Jesus. That's what he's looking for today. Folks, that's what he's doing. He's pulling out impurities. He's giving us a faith that says when the fire comes, impurities begin to come. The fire and the furnace are all over the Bible. along with Peter speaking about this fire that comes. Let me give you two other passages. Isaiah and David speak about it. And we are told by all of them that there is a furnace and a fire, but right around the corner is glory. See, Peter tells us, jot this down, how we face the fire. He says joy and fire, joy in the furnace can coexist because joy is not the absence of problems. It's the presence of God with you. But you're going to see that David, we're going to read in a moment, David will tell us why we go through the fire. So Peter is how. I'm going to read to you a verse on David says how or why we go through it. And then we're going to finish with Isaiah saying, who is going through it with you while you go through that fire? Let me explain that again. Peter will tell us how, David will tell us why, or Isaiah will tell us who. Or let me put it to you this way. Peter tells us, choose joy over its confusion, thinking something strange is happening. He says, choose joy in that moment. Don't allow Peter says that thinks something strange is happening to you. He says, God, the refiner has come. David tells us what is on the other side of is better than where you started off before you went into the fire. He says, where you started, and if God puts you in a furnace, he says, what you're about to come out, you're about to become better than when you went into that thing. And finally, he says this, Isaiah tells us, you get a walking companion when you go through that fire. You are not going through it alone. There is on the bedroom wall of the great 19th century preacher, Charles Spurgeon, had a verse on his wall that I want you to see what he had and looked at every day when he woke up. The great English preacher from London had this verse on his wall, and it said this. It was Isaiah 48:10. It said, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. He says, that's when God chooses his men. That's where God chooses his women. That's where God chooses his people. He says, when you think it's hottest, God's going, I'm looking for that person to make my choice. In fact, right after that, Spurgeon wrote in his journal, he said, we are chosen not in the palace, but in the furnace. In the furnace, he goes, beauty is marred, fashion is destroyed, strength is melted, and glory is consumed. Yet here in the furnace, eternal love reveals its secrets and declares its choice. That's who I'm looking for. That's who I'm going for. Listen to Isaiah and David's words. Let me read to you first of all. Remember, Peter is how we go through it. It is David that tells us why we go through it. Ready for this? Psalm 66:12 says it like this. Jot this down. You've allowed our enemies to prevail against us. We've passed through, what does it say? Fire and flood, yet in the end, you always bring us out better than when we were before. Hallelujah. This is what he says. He said, you've allowed it. You've allowed this to happen. Folks, I have to tell you, I truly believe God is doing something in his church in Europe. God is doing something. He is putting his church in a moment to say, we are going to make this church look like me. I'm going to get my church ready for what's coming. And because God will always bring us out better than when we were before. It's true. I've experienced it. Every fire and furnace God has put Cindy and I through, I'm telling you, God brought us out new and better than when we went in the beginning of that furnace. God is always faithful. That when you're in that furnace on the other side, Peter says there's glory around the corner. David says you're better than when you went in, than when you come out, you're better than you were when you first started this process. A few months ago, I heard about the Bolamo tribe in Ethiopia, just a few months ago. And it's a 90-year-old story where American missionaries went to Ethiopia just before the start of World War II. They didn't realize the fire that they would be in after being there a few short months. They brought Bibles, and they just started the process of sharing the gospel with the Wolamo tribe. And just in a few months, they were run out of the country by what was happening all over Europe and the beginnings of the birth pains of World War II. Haile Selassie was run out and Mussolini took over Ethiopia. All the missionaries left, and all they left behind was a few Bibles. The missionaries were gone, and they didn't know what was going to happen. And God brought a fire to Ethiopia, a fire that they were going to go through a furnace at this time. And all the missionaries left after 2 months was some Bibles there. Here's what's amazing. Remember, when you go through the furnace, you come out better on the other side. The missionaries, listen, it's documented, came back 6 years later to restart their work in Ethiopia. And this is what they found 6 years later by just leaving a few Bibles. They found 48,000 Wolamo people coming to Christ, a number of churches planted, and blood feuds have stopped between the tribes because of leaving a few Bibles there. When you add the Bibles and a furnace, I'm telling you, God can do much more than we can do on our own strength that's there. I'm telling you, folks, listen, my heart breaks for the refugees. My heart breaks for what's happening. But don't miss what God is doing in his church overseas. Don't miss what God is speaking to his pastors and his leaders, that God can use a fire and a furnace of World War II to start his church right there in Ethiopia. Let me read you Isaiah's words. Remember, Peter is how, David is why, but here in Isaiah, it's the who. Listen to Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they won't overflow you. And here it comes. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, he says, how do we go through it? Peter, you go with joy. Joy and the furnace can coexist because joy is not the absence of problems. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit. David says, this is why we go through it, because God takes us out on the other side better than when we went in. But the only way we can make it through it is knowing who goes through with it with us. He says this, look at these words again. Let me read it to you. When you pass, say the next word with me. Through the waters, I'll be with you. And what? Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk, what does it say? Through the fire, you shall not be burned. You know what he was saying? For every battle, there is a way through. He said, whether it's rivers, whether it's water, or whether it's fire, every battle has through in it. Listen, through the waters, through the rivers, through the fire. God's intention, hallelujah, is not to get you to a battle, but glory to God, it is to get us through the battle. That's what his intention is. See, two things stand out when I read that Isaiah passage. Let me give them to you. It is presence of God, and the speed we go through that furnace. Let me give that to you again. Presence and speed in the furnace is what begins to speak to me. Here's what he says. I will be with you, presence, when you, and here's the part, walk through the fire. Folks, that doesn't make sense to me. When something is burning, I want out now. I don't want to be there. It's when it's hot, get me out. And here's what the prophet says. You don't have to run through this, but because I'm with you, I will walk you through this. He says, because my presence is there, you're able to walk. If I'm not there, you just want to run and get out of this. But when I'm with you, I'm working with you, I have my presence with you, I am protecting you from fire, I'm protecting you from being scorched, I'm protecting you because he is a refiner that is working on his people. Let me just tell you this, because if God is with you, you know what, folks? You get to be fireproof and you get to be waterproof. If God is with you, he says, the presence, my presence, will also dictate your speed. Think about this. He says this, 1 Peter 4:12, there's joy in the fire. There's joy. Psalm 66:12, there's a better place on the other side of this furnace. Get through it. And Isaiah 43:2, there is someone who is with me on this walk through this fire. Now, folks, here's where I want to finish today. Does it really work? Does 1 Peter 1:6 and 7, 1 Peter 4:12, does Psalm 66:12, does Isaiah 43:2, does it work? Can it actually take us through it? And here's what I realize. I can tell you certain things on each of those to rejoice in the fire. Better than when I went in. Walk, don't run. But let me close today and take just a few minutes to close with a test case. It was an actual fire. Peter and David, Isaiah were right. 1 Peter 4:12, Psalm 66:12, and Isaiah 43:2. It's true. It's true. You ready for this? And three teenagers proved it. You may know their name. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego proved you can rejoice in the fire. Proved I'll be better on the other side of the fire. Proved that I won't walk through a fire by myself. Jesus will be with me in that. They proved it. I heard one pastor say this. He said, I believe that somewhere in Jerusalem around the year 500 BC, there were three old Jewish guys, well in their 90s, that would meet every year at the Jerusalem Starbucks with their old Babylonian outfits on, like wartime vets putting it on. Maybe they gained a little weight and couldn't button it. They would sit there and drink their coffee, smelling each other and looking at the fabric. Never burned, it never smelled. And I could see them going, putting it on every single year and saying, remember, he walked with us in that fire. Remember, he was with us this entire time. Let me tell you the story for just a few moments about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They walked through the fire in Daniel 3 during the Babylonian captivity. Let me give you the quick background. There are 70,000 select POWs in Babylon from an invasion army. 70,000 POWs that Babylon has taken and brought them right into their capital city. They have been purposely taken and carefully chosen to be brainwashed in the Babylonian way. The Bible uses that word Babylon. Think of this for a moment. That Babylon is not just a place, it is also a system of belief, according to the book of Revelation. Babylonian culture at that time was to brainwash them that you are supposed to look to Nebuchadnezzar and what the leadership wants instead of looking higher to what the throne of God wants. And he says that's what that is. Of the 70,000 that were brought in, three of them have proven Isaiah's words about the fire, that God would walk through them. Isaiah's prophecy of God being with his people in the fire was almost 200 years earlier than when Daniel chapter 3 was written. The Jewish boys knew the prophecy. And here's the part I want to say. You can jot this down. Truth has no expiration date. If it was true 200 years ago, it is true today. If Isaiah says he'll walk through a fire, I'm telling you, folks, you can take it to the bank. And that prophecy for us is over 2,000 years old. And I have to tell you this, I still believe God will walk with you through any fire, through any flood, through anything that comes your way. I'm telling you, those that are watching in Europe, God will walk with you. It's a promise. Truth has no expiration date. He will walk with you. He will be with you. In Isaiah 43:2, you can rejoice because joy and fire and the furnace can coexist, because joy is not the absence of problems. It is the presence of God that's with you. And Psalm 66:12 says you'll be better coming out than when you went into the furnace in the very beginning. See, the king at this time, Nebuchadnezzar, is about to change society and make the people take their eyes off God and look to the government of Babylon. Folks, there is something here. I'm just going to say it as I see it. In Daniel 3, all the highest government officials are being asked to bow down to a 90-foot high golden image of the king. When you read Daniel 3, 2 and 3, judges, governors, magistrates, treasurers, it says they're all there. And I'm gonna say it because it's right before me. Just because the government bows doesn't mean it's correct. Just because high officials bow down doesn't mean it's truth. Doesn't mean it's from God. Make no mistake what they were asked to do. Let me just tell you what I did in my Bible. I'll show it to you. What I did in my Bible, because I don't want there to be any mistake, I circled 11 times in this chapter. 11 times it says worship, worship the image, worship the image, worship. Make no mistake, they were being asked to turn their allegiance from God and to put it upon a government. And I'm here to tell you, we worship one person, and that's the God that's upon the throne. Make no mistake what they were being asked to do. Make no mistake. But now they have a problem, because now there's a furnace. Nebuchadnezzar, by his command to worship, you ready for this? Was violating the first three commandments. They're violating the word that has no expiration date. Here's what it says. You shall have no other gods before me. He's messed that up. You shall not make yourself a carved image of any likeness of it. Blew that one. And you shall not what? Bow down to them or serve them. Okay, here's what's amazing. Now they have a furnace in front of them. They have a promise in their heart and a furnace in front of them. But the promise is God will be with them if that's what the end result is. Three teenage boys. They didn't stand up radically and just say, no, we won't. Someone noticed that while everybody else was bowing, they just stood there. It's amazing to me. Did you remember what I said? 70,000 refugees. 70,000 Jewish people who knew the Ten Commandments. Here's the question. Where are the other 69,997? Where are the other ones who knew the commandments? Because what the furnace does is the furnace will show the impurities of our faith. The impurities will show. Listen, I want to say this. The impurities will show. The impurities are going to come. The furnace will come, Ukraine. The furnace will come to make sure that your heart loves people and doesn't hate the Russians. And Russians, the furnace is going to come to the church to say to the Ukrainians that we are united by the blood of Jesus Christ, not based on it. Because what the furnace does, it brings out who we're going to, all of a sudden go, well, Belarus didn't stand with them, so we don't like the Belarus. No. If they're people that have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, then I just have to tell you, then we can't bow. We can't bow to what people or even what even the multitudes would even say to us. Three of them didn't just know the commandments, they lived the commandments. And they're brought before the king. They refused to bow, even though they were given a second chance. Nebuchadnezzar did something that is unheard of from a Persian king. He gave them a second chance. And then the king said to them, I underlined this in my Bible. Listen to what he says. He says to them in Daniel 3:15. Listen to these words. He says, if you don't bow, what God is there who can deliver you? Ooh, Nebuchadnezzar. You never read Isaiah 43. Nebuchadnezzar, you never read Psalms 66:12. What God is there to deliver you? Obviously, the king didn't know Isaiah 43, but those three boys did. And here's what's amazing. I circled two things in my Bible. I circled every time it said worship. Let me tell you the second thing. Four times, to make it real clear, it says four times in here that they tied them up four times. Tied them up. That's important because you're going to see what the fire just does to the ropes that man puts on them. Tie them up. And that's exactly what happened. So now you have a furnace. You're tied up. It's there four times. A furnace seven times hotter. The king is angry because they got a second chance, but they refused. And so let me read to you the story. Here it comes. If you don't have a Bible, if you're joining us here, if you're reading online, you're going to see it on the screen. Here it comes. Daniel chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. The expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who was in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast them into the fiery furnace. Sounds like 1 Peter 4:12 and 1 Peter 1:6 and 7. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning furnace, of the fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed the guys who threw the three boys in there. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. But that's not the end of the story. Here we go, folks. Then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He was astonished because Isaiah 43 is true. He was astonished because Psalm 66:12 is true. And he was astonished, and he arose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound," said it a fourth time, "in the midst of the fire?" And you always say that the king is true. You never contradict. "True, O king." And then he says this, "Look, I see four men," what? Four men, what? And here he comes, Isaiah 43. What are they doing? Walking in the midst of the fire, and they were not hurt, and the form of the fourth, who was their walking companion, was like who? Come on, folks, look at that. I see four men loose, bound, nope, unbound, walking in the midst, hallelujah, of the fire. They are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like, hallelujah, the Son of God. Oh, folks, it's not done. Here's what it says. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most," oh, now they're servants of the Most High God. "Come out, come here." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came. Okay, let me just say this. If that was me, I wouldn't be walking out. I would be strutting out at this point. I'd be coming out. Mm-hmm. Still there. "And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose body the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed. Their garments were not affected, and the smell of fire was not even on them." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible is clear. Isaiah 43 is true. They were walking around. Walking around in the fire. What were they even talking about? Maybe Jesus was saying that the Father is proud of them. Maybe Jesus was saying their names are going to be talked about on 51st and Broadway thousands of years later. We still will talk about it. Maybe he was saying, maybe the Son of God was saying to them, Isaiah 43 is true, isn't it? It's worth trusting God in the midst of the furnace. I think about this in church. This is why, even when we begin to think of connect groups that are happening all over the world, I believe your connect groups can even be your furnace companions. They can be the people that you're going, we go to the fire for each other. We pray for each other. We believe for God to take us through. That's why we want you not only to get connected, but maybe you are to be lead that. Maybe God wants you to do that. Maybe whether it's through prayer, maybe a prayer connect group. It is getting a connect group wherever you're watching from around the country and around the United States. It's saying, let me put together some fireproof companions that we can walk through those things together. Folks, I'm telling you, as we close, I'm telling you, this works. The Bible is true. Truth has no expiration date. I've seen it. I've almost seen something like this happen that at the Daniel 3. When I went to Detroit some years ago, Cindy and I started a church in a 900-seat XXX movie theater. They ran the movies till the day we bought the theater. And when we got the keys, they just turned the lights off and gave us the keys. People were still coming to the theater looking for the movies. They thought we were renovating the theater for pornography. So they would come in and they're going, when are you going to start back up the show? I said, Sundays, 10 and 6. Right next to this pornographic theater, there was an 8-story crack hotel. We were ministering to all the prostitutes on the street. Many of the prostitutes lived in that 8-story crack hotel. And we weren't in existence, not even 6 months. And God chose to put us in a furnace. That there was some bad drug deals that were happening right next to the church. Someone didn't pay their drug debt, and all of a sudden, their drug bill, and all of a sudden, there came one night, I was in a different part of Michigan at that time. This group of guys came with cocktail bombs and burned down this 8-story crack hotel, literally connected to the church. And then I heard the story. I heard it from a group of prostitutes myself. They said then they came around and were about to cocktail bomb the church. And a group of prostitutes that we've been ministering to stood in front of the church doors and said, this is our church. You can't do it here. You can't do it. Folks, it took them 3 days in a January Michigan winter to put out that fire because the fire hydrants kept freezing on how cold it was. 3 days. This fire was connected to the church, flames hitting, that literally the whole building came down. It was right next to the church. We had service the next day, and we couldn't even have it because there was smoke in the entire sanctuary. You couldn't even see the stage or the seats. So when I got back to town, and they said we canceled service because we couldn't even see a few feet in front of us. The smoke was so bad. So the insurance company sent us thousands of dollars for smoke damage and to get the smell out. Thousands of dollars. I saw the check. When we walked in, folks, the smoke was gone, and you couldn't smell smoke on any one of those seats. So you know what I did? Because I believe the Bible, I sent the check back. They called me and said, nobody has ever sent an insurance check back. I should have wrote on the return line, I should have wrote, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on that thing. Let me close with this. I want to read the Isaiah 43 passage one more time. Because I read to you verse 2, but you have to hear verse 1. Here's what it says. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob. He who formed you, fear not, I've redeemed you, and I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, they won't overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you won't be burned, nor will the flame scorch you. Okay, look at that verse again. Because here's what you have to realize. We rejoiced in verse 2, but you can't get through verse 2 unless you have the relationship of verse 1. Do you understand what he just said in verse 1? This is so important because he was saying if there's no relationship with God, then there's no assurance in the flood and in the fire. That's so important. He's telling us, everyone in this place, everyone listening online, we're all going through difficult times. You can decide today if I'm going through the battles alone or with God that gets me through fires and floods. See, I can go through anything. According to verse 1, I can go through anything because God, here it comes, created me, formed me, redeemed me, hallelujah, and called me. Look at that again. Those are words right out of verse 1. I created you. I formed you. I redeemed you. And I called you by name. That you're sitting here today. You're listening online. You're in the balcony. You're on this main floor. I'm telling you, God created you. You're not an accident. God created you. God formed you. And here's what's amazing. When Jesus died for us 2,000 years ago, he was redeeming us. And now he's calling you. He's calling you. I'm just telling you, I need God to get through life. I need God in every furnace and flood. I need God. This is, folks, I'm just telling you, I'm so thankful for doctors. I'm so thankful for the military. I'm so thankful for our leadership. I'm so thankful for all those that are trying to help in Europe. I'm just telling you, I'm so thankful, but I'm just telling you, I can't take a step unless I know God is with me. I need God with me. I need God with me. And for some of you, I'm telling you, you may be in a furnace now, but you've never had that relationship with God. You don't even know where God is. That's what 1 Peter 4:12 was telling us. He says, when this stuff is happening, he says, don't think all of a sudden, where is God? He said, God's there. And today, if you have not known what it is to be redeemed and called, if you don't know what it is to have a relationship with God, today could be that day for you. Today could be that day that no matter what you walk through, God is with you. God is in me. Because there is no through unless God comes to us, in us, and changes us from the inside out. It's a relationship that is like no other relationship. See, if I was to ask you how that relationship starts, what that means, Jesus defines that relationship. He calls it being born again. That's John 3:3. In fact, Jesus says this. He not only deals with life, he deals with the afterlife. He deals with eternity. And Jesus says this. No man can see the kingdom of heaven unless they're born again. That's the relationship, Isaiah 43:1. That's the redeemed and called part. Pastor Tim, what do you mean by being born again? Here it is. Just as you were born the first time physically, most of you in a hospital, Jesus was saying you need to be born again a second time. That's spiritually. Something happens on the inside. Think of it this way. If I was to ask you, how do you get to heaven? Well, I'm religious, or I haven't hurt anybody, or I go to church, or I go to the mosque, or I go to a synagogue, or I was baptized. I had communion. I was confirmed. All those things. Or I'm sitting in church today. Those are great things. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said you have to be born again. That's what he said to you. So whether you're visiting with us today or whether you're watching online, maybe somebody has sent you the link to this. Verse Isaiah 43:2 of God going with you doesn't make sense unless you have the relationship. He loves you and he's calling you today. You feel him calling you today. What is he calling me to, Pastor Tim? He's calling us to that brand new relationship. These are Jesus's words that John 3:5, Jesus said, you must be born again, which says to me, don't make optional what Jesus says is a necessity. That's the relationship. Well, how does that happen, Pastor Tim? How can I become born again? Here it is. It's as simple as ABC, like we would tell a first grader. Learn your ABCs. Here it comes. A, It's admitting that I'm a sinner. It's when I get honest with God that all of us, even myself, have a condition. It's called sin. It can't be fixed with a promise, a priest, a pastor. There's not a program that can fix it. We need help to fix this. I'm broken on the inside. The diagnosis is sin, and it's me admitting that I'm a sinner. That when we were born, we're not like a floor model. Look at me. Assembly required. And the only one that can assemble me is God Himself. One pastor said it like this: we're not mistakers in need of correction, we're sinners in need of a Savior. Listen, we don't need a second chance, we need a second birth. A second birth. That's the A word. B is believe. Believe that God sent His Son to fix our sinful condition. I can't fix myself. If we could fix ourselves, then God putting His Son through the suffering He went through is the ultimate case of child abuse. Why would God send Jesus to die on the cross and say, do your best to get to heaven. Be a good person. Make sure your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, and then you get to go to heaven. Ridiculous. Jesus never would have had to die if we could get ourselves there by just being good. Jesus' death for me was Jesus being my sin bearer. That was that verse 3 of that hymn, It Is Well. He died the death I was supposed to die. Lived the life I had, it was impossible for me to live. And gave me a reward, forgiveness of my sins, an eternity in heaven. And even the promise of walking through fires and floods with me that I don't deserve. And finally, it's confessing Jesus as Lord. When we think of that word confess, we just kind of think of it as a word that we just speak stuff out, but it's more than that. Romans 10, 9, and 10, to confess Jesus as Lord is literally saying you're in charge now. Jesus did not die, come down, die on the cross, resurrect, simply to get you to sit in the church for an hour and a half and 90 minutes on a Sunday. That's not why He came. He didn't come to get you to church. Jesus came 2,000 years ago to get you to heaven. He doesn't want 90 minutes of your life. He wants your eternity. That's what He wants. God's goal is not to get you to church, but to heaven. Coming to church on a Sunday, that's what religion asks for. But a relationship, a born-again relationship, says, I don't want you on Sunday. I want you every single day. I want to talk to you on Monday. I want to talk to you on Tuesday. To be Lord, to confess Him as Lord, saying you have veto rights. See, that's why Christianity is not coming to a place. It's coming to a person. It's coming to Jesus. And today you can do that. Today that can happen for you. Just as you had the first birth, a second birth can take place today. How is that going to happen, Pastor Tim? While you're sitting in these seats, while you're watching online, I want you to get ready. This is the most important question anyone can ever ask you. Have you been born again? And today that can change. What are we going to do? I'm going to pray a born-again prayer. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. I'm going to ask you right now. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand. We have some COVID protocols still in place that eventually will relax, but not right now. I'm not going to make you walk forward. But I'm going to ask everybody in this place for just the next few moments to bow your head and close your eyes. It's the most important thing. Your eternity. Every fire that you go through right now and beyond eternity is at stake here. Jesus said you must be born again. So today, those that are here, those that are online, today could be that day. Today could be the day that you make the decision to be born again. What do I need to do, Pastor Tim? I'm going to pray a born-again prayer. And if you're here, balcony, main floor, online, and you go, Pastor Tim, when you pray that prayer, would you include me? I want to be part of that prayer. If that's you today, I won't make you stand. I won't bring you forward, but I am going to ask you to make a decision. If you're here today, in the next 30 seconds, in just 30 seconds, if you want me, and I'll be the only one looking around, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in about 30 seconds. And you're saying, put me in that prayer, Pastor Tim. When you pray that born-again prayer, I want God in my life. I want a relationship. I want to start a journey with God. And some of you are hearing this voice. You can't do that. You're not perfect. Exactly. Tell that voice this. Perfect people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. Today, that can change. And if you're watching online, I know we can't see your hand, but you can type the word decided. I'm deciding to pray this prayer with you, Pastor Tim. And you can start typing that in now. But if you're here today and say, Pastor Tim, when you pray that born-again prayer, would you include me with every head bowed and every eye closed? Because I want to make sure I could see those hands. Because we're all going to pray the prayer together. Not just you, but we'll all pray it. But if you go, put me in that prayer. I want to start a journey with God today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you, without any hesitation, hold up your hand right now. Hold it up as high as you can. I want to make sure I see every hand that's up. Keep them up. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Let me see the balcony. 14. Keep them up. I want to make sure I see every hand that's up that in this place. 15, 16. Got you up there. That's fantastic. You can put your hands down. Thank God for that, for those that respond. If you're online, I want you just to type the word decided. Come on, let's pray this together all over this place. Can we say this out loud? Say this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. You faced hell for me, so I wouldn't have to go. You rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. Come on, say this with me now. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Come on, put your hands together. We not only rejoice with those 16 hands, we rejoice with those 5 other people that decided on line 6 now. So 22 people, we rejoice with you and the greatest decision that you have ever made in your life. It's not just for now, but it's forever. Hey, if you've prayed this prayer with us, do me a favor and text the word decided to 51,000. Text decided. We want to just help you on this journey, on the next steps of what this looks like to be born again. This is not membership. You're not becoming a member of Times Square Church. We just want to help you on this brand new journey that you have with God.